Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi! This week's episode is brought to you, as always, by the lovely Golding Accountancy. If you need an accountant, we are golding.com. They are so lovely. Do you know what I've just noticed? I've just noticed a dirty sock that I didn't put in the washing machine. How annoying is that? And the washing's just finished, it's on the floor. Oh, it's things like this that really wind me up. That's got nothing to do with our lovely sponsor, Golding Accountancy, of course. I'm sure they never leave dirty socks on the floor, same way as they never muck up your accounts. That's quite a good... I'm doing quite a lot of plugging for them. It's a good job, I like them, and they are good. Anyway, I digress. Yeah, I hope you're having a good half term. I've had a lovely week. I've been out twice. I feel like I've not been out forever, but I've been out twice. We went for an audio tour walk around Wapping today, which was very lovely, all around St Catherine's Docks, Tower of London, saw where the pirates used to get executed. It was really lovely. We were out for about 3.5 hours. There were no toilets open anywhere. A very nice man let us in his restaurant to go to the toilet. That's the one good thing about having children, people do take pity on you. But yeah, that's the only thing, isn't it, about going out now, there's no toilets open. But hopefully that will all have changed by next week. But yeah, so I've had a nice half term. The podcast this week, I had a lovely conversation with this woman. This woman is a friend of a friend, and I've stalked her on Instagram for a little while now because her and her husband and her family just look like they have the most fun. And you know when you just really like to be friends with people. So I think I've scared her quite a bit by telling her I want to be her best friend. But I didn't really know too much about her, but my friend said that I should get her on the podcast because basically she had her first baby at 17, had a couple more, like within a couple of years, split with a fella, and within, you'll hear all about it, but basically within a couple of years, she'd set up a multi-million pound company. Like in the first year, she turned over 1.2 million, I think it is. You'll hear in the podcast. She didn't earn that. That's what the business turned over. But to go from being a single mum with 3 kids on her own, it's just absolutely phenomenal what people can do when they put their mind to it. So it was a really good chat. And she talks about her new makeup brand as well that she set up with two of her daughters, which is launching this year, which sounds wonderful. But it's a really inspiring story, and she's such a lovely woman. So I really enjoyed it. So I hope you enjoy it as well. And I'll see you in a bit.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Work.
Hello. Today I'm joined by the very lovely Antonia Price.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
And I'm very excited about this because I was just telling you, I'm not a weirdo, but we follow each other on social media because we've got mutual friends. So we've never actually met, but it's kind of like we know each other because of social media. But I did think weirdly the other day that I wanted to be your best friend. I do have this with people. Like, do you watch Drag Race?
I've watched a few episodes. I'm not as an avid watcher as my daughter, who has watched them back to back like 5 or 6 times, but I have seen the odd one or two. And I'm in awe of any man that can put on makeup like that. It's fantastic.
The transformations are absolutely unbelievable. But they do spend hours, and I just don't think I could be bothered.
It's all the sticking the eyebrows down and stuff like that. I mean, you use a Pritt stick and things like that, don't you, to do it?
Yeah.
I shouldn't probably know that sort of stuff, but I do.
It is amazing.
It's a lot of work, is it? But the end result is so fantastic. It looks so good.
That is amazing. It's amazing. But there's this guy on the British one that's on at the moment, and I was like, I want to be his best friend, Lawrence Chaney. He's so funny. And then I text our mutual friend, Scroobius Pip. I text him because he had someone on the podcast, Michaela Cole. I was like, I want to be her best friend. And he was like, she's too young for you. So I was like, all right. And then there was someone else as well, but I can't remember who. But anyway, so yeah, I do have this thing about people, and I think, oh, we should be friends.
Well, I take that as a compliment. Unless you're saying that I am like a drag queen, and that's why you want to be friends with me, which I'm not sure which way to take that. But I'm going to go positive.
You look like you're a lot of fun, and that you have a lot of fun in your life, and I think that's always very attractive.
Yeah, no, definitely. No,
people think, oh, I want to live with you, but. So I was talking to our mutual friend, Stuart Griffin, and he said that I should get you on the podcast because of your fascinating life story. Oh, and also, you've got a very exciting new business venture, haven't you?
So I have. Well, I'm in the midst of launching. I've just launched a new business, and I'm in the midst of launching two new businesses this year.
So, oh, wow. Yes,
so I'll be taking sort of like, you know, my business up to four. I've had one for about 18 years, but this year.
Oh, wow.
Last year, I was supposed to launch my company called AdPlan. But obviously, with all of the lockdown and everything that happened, we've put it back and set it back a year. Then we've launched another company called Adore Outdoor. I've got a very solid media background, so everything that's all very sort of like interlinked with my company Focus Media. And then I'm launching a company with my daughters, which I'm most excited about over any company that I've launched ever, which is we are launching our own online cosmetics brand called Maya Beauty, and to be able to get as so creative and to be able to you know, sort of like create our own cosmetics. So we are massively into makeup. I mean, makeup is pretty much you know, our life. If Huda Beauty brings out a new palette, that's actually, you know, that's a WhatsApp conversation between myself and my daughters. Of, you know, the colours and the pigmentation and, you know, whether it works in a cut crease and, you know, sort of what primer you'd put on underneath and what colour you're going to get with what specific primer. It, you know, this is actually real in my life. It's, you know, this sort of...
Do you have to get different primers then for different colours?
It depends. You've got certain primers that tend to... If you're going to do like a cut crease, then I tend to...
I don't know what that means. I don't know anything about makeup.
Well, basically, you want something a bit like a primer that's a little bit, I like it a little bit sticky. So when it goes on, it's quite, not sticky, tacky. So that when you are patting your makeup on, when you're patting the actual colour on, you're not brushing it on because obviously you want as much pigmentation as you can get. So you pat it into place. So, and the primer, if it's a nice tacky primer, it holds the colour in place. And then what you can do is afterwards you get the primer again with a nice flat brush and you cut it sort of like, you know, sort of above the crease in your eye. And it can give you like, so you've got a really lovely sort of different colour on the top of the lid as opposed to the bottom of the lid.
Okay.
So all very technical.
So have you always loved makeup?
Always. Absolutely always. My first sort of memories of makeup was watching my mum do her makeup every morning without fail. My mum wouldn't dream of leaving the house without a full face of makeup on. And I'd watch her every morning with her flannel and a soap to wash her face. And then she'd stand in the downstairs bathroom and put her makeup on. And I wasn't allowed near her makeup bag. It was sacred. It wasn't one of those, you know, my girls go through my oh no, I've got so much makeup, they go through it all. And then suddenly I sit there and think, I'm a palette missing. I know that's missing, but I wouldn't dare touch my mum's makeup. Not in a million years. That was, you know.
So have you done training in it? Or is it just all stuff you've taught yourself?
No, I'm self-taught. So anything that I've done makeup-wise, it's all been self-taught. And to be honest with you, with the way it is now, you know, with YouTube videos and social media, it's really not that difficult. Yeah. And especially online courses you can get, it's not that difficult to be able to, you know, have a really good understanding of makeup and, you know, not actually be taught makeup. I mean, I'm nowhere near a level of, you know, sort of like if you was going to become like a fully professional MUA and you was going to go into, you know, sort of like model, you know, sort of like doing models makeup or, you know, sort of like being an MUA for, you know, photo shoots and all that sort of stuff. I mean, I'm nowhere near that level of makeup. But on a day-to-day level of makeup and what they call the Instagram makeup, you know, I'm pretty good at that sort of stuff. And so are my daughters.
So why did you want to do your own? Was there something lacking that you wanted to make?
It's always been sort of like, you know, on my sort of vision board, so to speak, that having a cosmetics company and sort of like creating my own brand, there was always something that I've always wanted to do. When it comes to something lacking, I think when I sort of like, because obviously with my daughters, I mean, my daughters, if you ever met them, they're chalk and cheese. One is just like, you know, she's very much sort of like the girls you see on sort of like Instagram, all their makeup. She's very sort of what I call the sort of like the Barbie of the family. All sort of like blonde hair, sort of like, you know, sort of like the full face of makeup. Whereas my other daughter is very much that sort of like quirky sort of loves all the pastel goth she follows all of those sort of people. She's very much all like the very heavy sort of like, you know, loves a really good eye makeup but wouldn't touch foundation, that sort of thing. She's only just starting to get into use like lipstick and stuff like that because to her it's all about the eyes and it's all about making a statement, that sort of thing. And when because obviously she goes through my makeup, and obviously, you know, not all of it is of her taste, of what she'd want to use. And when I've actually looked online, a lot of the stuff that she, you know, sort of follows, there isn't really a makeup brand for them. There's not, you know, they're not really anything specific for that sort of market. So we're sort of like pushing down the line of, you know, the audience that we're going to go for is quite indie. It's going to be quite alternative, but it's going to be like big, bright, bold sort of colours. Our first collection is going to be based on a doll's house. So if you want to buy the full collection, you'll literally open it up and it will look like a doll's house, and you'll open it and it will have your palette in there. It'll have your lipsticks. And what we're working on is maybe sort of having like a highlighter within the palette that is in the shape of like a baby's bottle. So you'll squeeze the teat of the baby's bottle and the highlighter will come out. So it will be very sort of like highly focused collections, all quite themed. So you can, and then we'll add new bits and pieces to each collection as we're going along, so that you can basically have like little collectibles as you go. So.
Oh, that sounds lovely. It's a really cute idea as well.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I don't think there's not really anyone else out there doing that sort of thing. And what I find with sort of makeup brands, I find that their sort of advertising and their content can actually be quite bland. I think it's quite boring. And I want us to...
It's not changed.
No, I don't think... When I see an advert for makeup on the TV, I don't think there's any real sort of like... I mean, there probably is effort gone into it. I'm not saying there's not, but don't feel it from my point of view. I'd like to see a story.
Yeah.
And our makeup will have stories. So it will be very sort of, you know, eye-catching. And I want it to be where, you know, people and, you know, will want to see the next collection. And they'll be thinking, oh, I wonder what they're going to do next. Oh, that was really good. That was really quirky. And, you know, all the branding looked really cool. The makeup's really nice. Let's see what they're going to come up with next. And my daughter has just got a stack of ideas just sitting there waiting to go. So it's...
How old are your daughters?
My daughters are... I've got one of 23 and one of 18.
Oh, so, lovely.
So,
well, that's a really nice thing for them to be getting into as well, isn't it? It's nice to have some focus and drive and stuff when...
Definitely. I mean, my youngest daughter, I mean, she's so creative. It's crazy. I mean, she's a very good artist. And, you know, she's one of these ones that, you know, she's not scared to, if there's a skirt that she can't get hold of, she will attempt to make it. And she's very hands-on and very good, you know, sort of in that sort of way. And my other daughter is very much on trend when it comes to makeup and knows what she likes. And, you know, so I think between the three of us, we've got a lot to offer. So... I think, Maya, I'm so excited about it because it's something that I think, you know, it's been in the pipeline for a little while, but now I think we're...
Where does the name come from?
Maya is basically, my daughters are called Emma May and Olivia May, and they're hyphenated, and their May is spelled M-A-E. And with my name being Antonia, I've added an A on the end because there's an A in the middle of Maya and then an A at the end. So it's an amalgamation of the three of us names. So,
it's
a Maya beauty.
So how do you get from the idea of thinking, oh, I want to make makeup, to actually making it happen? Like, do you have to contact, how are you making it? Who's making it?
That's the difficult part. It's all well and good saying, I'm going to come up with this makeup brand, and we're going to brand it. It's going to look so cool, and, you know, all the marketing's going to look, look on point. It's going to look spot on. It's a lot of research. Lots and lots of research. There's lots of laboratories that you can contact. UK sort of based laboratories. You've got laboratories in America, China, Korea, Germany, Italy. Honestly, there's so many. And it's just a case of finding the right lab with the formulas that you want to use, and whether you can customise the formulas that they've already got sort of like on the shelf. So it depends how you want to go. So you could, you know, there's certain ways that you can go with makeup. You can pretty much, you know, use a formula that they already have, or you customize something that you want to do. We've got something in the pipeline that is going to be our USP. I can't tell you what it is.
That's okay.
But it's it's something that no one else is doing at the moment, and it's very on trend. And that's pretty much
that's really exciting.
That's all I can say. And
I can't wait to see it all.
Yes, it's quite exciting. But it's pretty much, it's so much research, and it's just it's just finding the right the right lab to work with.
So how long has it taken you to get to this point from when you first kind of started thinking this is what we're going to do?
I'd say to where we are now, we sort of decided that we was going to launch Maya. This has been in the pipeline, I'd say, for a good 2 years of next step. This is what we want to do. But obviously with everything that went on, it's, you know, we've basically sort of stepped back for a year. I'd say we've been working on this for about 6 months now. So, and then our first collection, we're hoping to have out in October. Going to launch a collection, especially if you're going to become a makeup brand, the best time to launch is in that last quarter of the year, because a massive percentage of your makeup companies make their money in that last quarter of the year, because people tend to buy makeup within that October, sort of like, you know, November, December period. So if you're going to launch, then that's quite a pinnacle time to launch. So we've got, it sounds like we've got a lot of time, but we really haven't. Honestly, if you go through my to-do list that I've got on my desk, it's like, you know, there's so much to do. So much to do. But fingers crossed, we'll be all ready for October. Our USP product won't be ready for then, but the first collection will be. Then hopefully by next year, we can add that in. But there's so much to do. It's like, you know, it's not even like, sort of like, you know, even with the manufacturers and, you know, sort of like the marketing and the branding, which is my side of it. I mean, my daughter is sort of like, you know, knee deep in, you know, putting together influencer lists, PR lists, ambassadors who she wants to talk to. So you've also got all of that side of it as well. You know, it's all well and good having this, you know, sort of like really cool makeup brand, but we need to be able to tell people about it, and we need to get the right people on social media to be able to be talking about it as well. So it's a lot of planning.
Yeah, it's hard work.
It's a lot of hard work.
And it's a lot of work.
It's not a case of you can just go, oh, I'm going to start a makeup company today. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
It really doesn't.
And it's just you doing it.
It's myself and my daughters that are doing it.
Yeah.
So we've split. Yeah. They're the social babes. They're the social media team.
Yeah.
And I'm sort of like, I'm the branding, and I'm dealing with all the branding, marketing and the manufacturing. So.
Wow. So what's your background then? So let's go back to the beginning. Yeah. So where are you from?
I was born in London. So I was born in Greenwich. So I am a true Cockney, you know, born within the sound of the Bow Bells.
Wrong side of the river.
Wrong side of the river, but you know, my nan's always said I am. So if she says it, then it's true. I was born in London. I moved to Essex when I was very young. I think I was about four when I moved to Essex. My dad is an Essex boy and my mum was a London girl. Do not ask me how they met. I have no clue, because one was from Greenwich, the other one was from Averley. I don't know how that happened. I moved to Essex. I moved to Tilbury. And lovely. I lived in Tilbury for many a year and flitted between sort of like Tilbury and Grays and backwards and forth as you know, sort of like as a teenager. I'm just trying to think, really.
So what did you go to college?
Yes, I did. Well, I went to St Clair's in Stamford. Yeah. And then after St Clair's, I mean, to be honest, I'd done really well in my exams, which I was quite sort of like shocked as, because I wasn't really, you know, I'm not an academic at all. In any way, shape or form, I'm really not. But I kept my head down, done quite well at my GCSEs. Then I went on to do my A-levels. And I started on, what was I doing? God, so many years ago. I was doing English Lit, History and Media Studies. So I must have known even back then that there's something, you know, I was going to do something media-wise. And then... I found out I was pregnant with my eldest son at 17.
Oh, wow. Yes. At 17?
Yes. I fell pregnant with my eldest son. And so I had to leave college. So I only done the first year at college. And then I didn't complete anything after that.
When you found out it wasn't, you didn't think it was, you're always just going to go for it. You didn't consider not going for it.
What happened was, obviously, 17, I was actually, I'm going to get down and dirty now, actually tell you what happened.
Yeah.
But I was on the pill and I had a boyfriend at that particular time. And I had, I was on antibiotics at the same time I was on the pill. But when I was put on the pill, nobody actually told me you were supposed to stop taking the pill. So for about a year, I just carried on at 16. I just carried on taking the pill and not seeing a period or anything. And just thinking that was like totally normal. Yeah. So then I was on antibiotics, and which I didn't know counteracts the pill.
Yeah.
And obviously not having a period, carrying on taking the pill, it meant nothing to me. I'd been to the doctors a couple of months after I'd been on antibiotics, and my mum went to the doctors for something to do with herself, and the receptionist at the doctors said to my mum, congratulations on Antonia being pregnant. And my mum was like, what? What are you talking about? And the receptionist was gobsmacked, going, what she did? And she went, no, I don't know what you're talking about. She went, Antonia's pregnant. She went, my daughter's pregnant. And she went, and started having like a massive panic attack. My mum come home.
Oh my God.
My mum come home and said to me, have you got something to tell me? And I sort of looked at her and was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And she went, you're pregnant. I went, no, I'm not. She went, no, you are. She went, because the receptionist at the doctor's has told me you're pregnant. And I said, oh my God, I literally collapsed on the floor. And I was going to a nappy night at Pizzazz in Grace that night. And I just found out I was pregnant. And I was like,
oh my God,
what on earth? And I didn't actually believe it. So I went out, didn't really.
What did they fucking tell you?
Didn't really take any notice of it whatsoever. And thought, right, well, I better get on to the doctors the next day because it's got to be wrong. I can't be pregnant. And lo and behold, I phoned the doctors the next day, and my doctor apologised for them giving my mum the information about me being pregnant before they'd given it to me. And yes, I was pregnant. And I was actually, I think I was 15 weeks when I found out that I was pregnant.
Wow.
And so it really wasn't, it was one of those ones I was sort of like, oh my God, what on earth am I going to do? But I was 15, I think I was coming up for 16 weeks pregnant when I found out I was pregnant. So I always say to Connor, you are my most favourite mistake. You are. And I wouldn't do without you. And 17. I was an only child to my mum, but I was the eldest of four to my dad, but I was brought up by my mum. I didn't really have much to do with my dad and his children. I mean, I saw them and stuff like that when I was growing up, but I didn't really have much to do with them because my mum and dad split when I was very, very young. I think I was only, my mum split pretty much when I was like a baby. So being an only child, I didn't have any babies in the family or anything. So I had no clue what I was doing. I mean, no clue. So I'm 17, I'm doing 3 A-levels. And I'm just thinking, right, now I've got to give up college, which broke my heart. And I'm thinking, fuck, I'm going to have a baby. And it was quite a lot to take in for a 17-year-old girl.
What was it like?
I've always been, I do take everything in my stride, and I've always been like that. So, from what I can remember, I was always, I was very excited. Once I'd got my head around the fact that I was pregnant and, my mum didn't want to kill me anymore. It was sort of like, I did sort of think, I'm having a baby. And with me being an only child, my mum always tried for more babies of her own. So it never happened for her. So with me being pregnant and me being at home, she just looked at that as, hey, she gets to, she got to have another baby. So there was quite a lot of excitement between the pair of us. And I was absolutely convinced that I wanted to have a little girl. and I didn't want a little boy.
Yep.
And my boyfriend's parents told me categorically, just get ready to have a boy because everybody in this family has boys first. You will not have a girl. And I was like, no, I'm going to have a girl. I didn't pick a boy's name or anything. And then, yeah, I had a little boy. And but I think when you become a mother, at any age, I think a natural reaction, a natural maternal instinct does kick in.
Yeah.
It did for me, even at 17, not have being brought up around children at all. It did kick in. And, but
thank God.
Yeah, thank God.
So was the father involved?
Yes. I ended up marrying him. So, we've got, and we had two more children after Connor. So,
oh, wow, okay.
So,
how long after?
So get your head around this. So, I had, at 17 years old, I had Connor, who's 28 now. At 19, I had Charlie. Then at 21, just before my 21st birthday, I had Emma. And then I was married at 21. So, I got married at 21 and three children.
Yeah.
So talk about do things early and just, you know, get it all done out the way as quick as you can.
Yep. So what were you doing? Were you working or were you just looking after the kids? Not just because that is enough, but do you know what I mean? Like,
I did a little bit of part-time work. So I worked I've got to admit, my part-time work was always my most favourite. I made such good friends at my my part-time jobs when I was sort of like a teenager in that sort of like early 20s. I mean, I've still got people now that I keep in touch with who I worked with because I did all like the normal stuff and worked in Pizza Hut and I worked at Warner Village Cinemas in Lakeside. I was one of the box office girls there for a good like 2-3 years. Where else did I work? Yeah, sort of like TGI's, done like the normal waitressing stuff. And I loved all of that because I've always been very sort of like a very people person and I've always been a natural salesperson. So I used to walk in and think, right, there's a table up there, sort of like they're going to let this table of 15 people in. I think I know that I can literally just charm the pants off them and I'm going to get a really good tip at the end of this. So I used to be up there and be like, all right, guys, are we up to whose birthday is it? And I'd be like chatting away like a good one. And I've never been a wallflower. I've always been one just to be sort of like chatting away. And I worked, sort of like part-time pretty much through the whole time when I had the kids. I had to do it really for my own sanity. It wasn't anything other than just to getting out of the house and, you know, not be surrounded by nappies.
You were so young.
Yeah, and just to sort of like, you know, be a sort of like, you know, a kid really, because I was a child myself, really, bringing up three of my own children. And even though I wouldn't change it for the world, because I've got such an amazing relationship with my older three. And especially my sort of like my eldest son, I mean, I don't remember life before him, which I find really weird that all I see myself is me being at school and then I left school and then Connor was there. So he's been with me. He's been on my hip since I was 17 years old and he's still living at home now, I'd like to add. When is he going to leave, please? But
So what was it like with your mates? Because I'm assuming that you were the only one that had kids.
Oh, good, yes. I was the only one. Yeah. I think there was another girl at school. I always remember Joanne. And she had twins at the same time when I had Connor. And I remember thinking, fuck, God, that must be hard. And then 2 years later, I've got another two under my belt. And thinking, God, honestly. But, it was difficult on that sort of level. Because I had certain friends that pretty much, you know, I didn't really see them again after I had Connor.
Yes,
and it wasn't anything to do with the fact of, you know, they looked at me any differently or looked down on me of being like a teenage mum or anything like that. It was just really our lives just went in different directions and they went off and...
But your life changes completely. When you have kids, that's what you do.
Yeah.
You're not going down the path.
No, exactly.
Anymore.
You're not doing that sort of thing anymore. And... you know, and they are. And even though, you know, I mean, there was a massive, you know, sort of like part of me that wanted to do that. And don't get me wrong, I didn't miss out. I still went out because at that particular time, I was still living at home with my mum and my stepdad. So,
yeah,
you know, I pretty much had sort of like babysitters there. So, you know, I did sort of go out. And because my boyfriend, who like Connor's dad, he was still going out. So it was nice to actually go and see him. And because a lot of the time he was, you know, we would meet up, like, you know, in Pizzazz, because he was coming around seeing the baby, and it'd be so weird because, like, we'd had a baby together and I'm still in my parents' house. It's not, you know, so to be able to let our hair down, it'd be nice to actually go out and actually just be, you know, sort of like a normal teenager, like the pair of us, instead of being parents at like 17 and 18 years old.
Yeah.
So I did, yeah, I did still do that sort of level, but obviously nowhere near the level of my friends. But I did have some sort of like hardcore friends that sort of like, you know, that stuck around. And I've still got friends that, you know, now from back then that I still see now.
Yeah.
And it's really weird because all my friends that I still see, like from when I was a teenager, I don't know if I put them off totally of having kids really young, because they all waited till they was in their 30s before they all started having kids. So, and by the time they'd started, it was really weird because I was that teenager again, because I literally had my teenage years.
Yeah.
I'm still living them now, as, you know, I'm now that teenager that I wasn't when I was 17, 18. Yeah. And I'm that teenager now. I mean, my kids tell me to grow up on a daily basis, and it's like, you know.
But then I think it's quite nice being like that when you're a bit older, because you don't give a shit. Like when you're a teenager, you're all self-conscious and everything, aren't you? But when you're over 40, you just don't give a shit about
it. When you're over 40, you give zero fucks what anyone thinks. It's like, no, it's a... And you've got that confidence, I think, when you're older as well. Yes. You have, haven't you?
Yeah.
Just to be like, you know, well, this is me, and take it or leave it. You could, you know, I always say, I always explain myself to people when they meet me. I'm Marmite. You're either going to love me or you're going to hate me. So we'll either be best friends by the end of this night, or you're going to be thinking, I never want to see her again. She's really annoying.
So you had three kids.
Yep.
You were 21. How did you get from that to the starting the businesses?
Right. Well, so 21, yep, three kids, married, working part-time. When I had my youngest daughter, my eldest daughter, I was 21, and I actually said to my stepmom, was a registered nursery nurse, and I said to her, Emma was 6 months old, Charlie was coming up for three, and Connor was five, and I was tearing my hair out. I needed some life and I needed to go to work. Yeah. And I basically sort of said to her, look, I want to go and get a job, can you help me? I can't really afford to give you the childcare that I'm gonna, you know, that you would normally probably get from having like having three kids. But Connor was at school, but the other two were still, you know, still needed full-time, you know, that, you know, home full-time. And she was sort of like, well, I'll help you. And I went and got a job. My first ever full-time job, I got out of the back of the Yellow Advertiser, the Thurrock Yellow Advertiser, and it was actually to work as a sales representative for the Yellow Advertiser. And I thought, I can do that, you know. I've been a waitress and, you know, I've worked at the box office. I'm affable, I can talk to people, I can do that. So I went for the interview. And they gave me the job then and there, and it's my first ever job. I mean, I got paid £10,500 a year, and I thought that was I thought that was just amazing. I thought, oh my god, someone's gonna give me £10,500 a year. Oh my god, I literally lost my mind until I had to work out quite quickly that out of that £10,500 a year, I used to take home about 660 quid. And I was having to give my stepmum about 400 of it a month for childcare. But do you know what? I needed it so much. I was so sort of like stir crazy. You know, I love my children to pieces, but I wouldn't say I'm not maternal. I'm, you know, I've always, I love my own children. not that keen on most other people's children. My mates will be like, well, you've had loads of kids. You look after mine. I'm like, no, I don't think so. I've done that. Been there. Yeah. No, keep your own. It's fine. But I needed sort of like, you know, my own identity, and I needed a job. And it was great. I've got to admit, when I started there, I was on the recruitment section. So basically I was selling ad space in the back of a newspaper to companies that needed to recruit new staff. So I'd basically cold call. So basically I'd look through like the Evening Echo and like the Basden Recorder and all these different newspapers, find the people that are sort of advertising for staff in the backs of their newspapers, and then offer them a space in my newspaper. So, and that's what I did for about a year. And then I left there and went to work for the Independent. So I went to a national newspaper.
Oh, wow.
Working on the education section at the Independent. Don't get too excited. I didn't last a month. The travelling was far too much. It was awful, honestly.
I was in the
city. I was in Canary Wharf. It was just, with three young children, it was an absolute nightmare.
Yeah.
So they moved me to their regional branch, which was called The Post. So I went to the Dagenham and Barking Post. The travelling was absolutely horrendous. It was the old A13 back then. There was no new A13. So it was the old A13 every day. It was just horrific. I wasn't getting home like till 7-8 o'clock at night. But at that point, you know, we'd come to rely on the money, and I'd starting to earn bonuses and stuff like that. So it was like, I mean, if you earned your bonus, I'd actually take home, you know, quite a decent wage, really. So, and then I got headhunted basically by the Evening Echo. So, and I thought, this is great. They're based in Basildon. It's only up the road from me. This is amazing. Yeah. And they brought me in to look after their education section. So I was basically cold calling all of the schools, colleges, universities, that sort of thing. And my job was to make features in the paper. So I'd come up with like an independent schools feature as a header.
Yeah.
Then I would go and just sell advertising space to independent schools in the area. And that's what I did for pretty much for about 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
And then I moved over to become, because I was telesales then, so there was basically sort of like an office just ram-packed of sort of girls aged between sort of like 21 to 25. All the girls that used to go to lunch at 12 o'clock, all the 1 o'clock girls would slag the girls off that had gone off to lunch at 12 o'clock. Then when they'd come back, the ones at 1 o'clock, they would just slag those girls off. And it'd all be like, so what are you having for lunch? Oh, I'm on a diet. I've got a salad in a roll and that sort of thing. And you'd be like, oh, for God's sake. It was just that typical sort of tele-ad mentality. And it was just like, you know, someone had fallen out with some other girl that was in the tele-ad bank because, you know, she'd sort of like been caught messaging her boyfriend and stuff like that. So it was, to be honest, I loved it. It was great. It was literally like living a soap opera. It's like living in EastEnders, but just in Basildon.
Yeah.
But then I moved on to become a rep, and I built my customer base. And because I was, you know, I was pretty good at my job. I mean, on my team, I had double the target to anybody else on my team.
Yeah. Wow.
And I was given a very good area to work on because they knew I was good at my job, and they knew that, you know, I had a very good rapport with my clients, and I could get people to spend money, and they knew it. So, and that's where I met Justin. That's where I met my husband now. We worked together for about 2 years before we got together.
Yeah.
And pretty much, sort of as when I started to work at the Echo, my sort of like my marriage started to, with my three children's dad, started to break down, and pretty much started to go our own way. You've got to remember, we was together since we were 16, so we were kids, you know, sort of.
It's amazing that you lasted.
Yeah. Like, no, do you know what it is? It really is, being that young.
And having a baby and then having two more. That's quite an achievement, I think, staying together for that amount of time anyway.
Yes. I think that's been well for you. And we split very amicably. I mean, me and my ex-husband, we get on so well. I look at him like an annoying brother, if I'm honest, and I'm sure he'd think the same of me. He's probably a few more choice words in there, but we've always gotten, like, you know, really well, and the kids have never, you know, there's never been any arguing or anything. He's you know, his wife's really good. Lovely, and they've got, you know, their own son now, and, you know, it couldn't have worked out better. We've never had any of that sort of like nasty divorce split or anything. And so me and Justin got together when we was at the Echo. Sorry, I've sort of like moved off then. And I'd like to say, which used to always really upset me, because his target was always like about a third of mine, of my target, which always found really annoying, because I've sort of like, he's only got to hit that sort of amount of money, and he's earning the same money as me. And it's like, how? Why have I got to earn all this money? Yeah. And he's only got to earn this to earn the same amount of money as me. So it got to a point where I was very good.
So you didn't get paid more?
No, not at all.
You did better. That's bollocks.
It all worked on a percentage you went over your target. So if you went 100% over your target, then you would get an extra, like, if you hit your target, you got like £200. And then if you went like 120% over your target, you could earn an extra, I think it was about £900. So you could earn like some really good money. And so it would be an extra £900. So, but you've got to think, I mean, my target was about, I was on about 50 grand a month I'd have to bring in. He'd have to bring in 10. So for me to go 20, so I'd have to go 20% over my target. So I'd have to bring in an extra 20 grand on my target. And he would only have to bring in like an extra 4. Sort of like, an extra 2. An extra bonus. 2. And he'd earn just as much money as what I earn. And it's like, where's the fairness in that? So I threatened to leave a couple of times just to get my basic up, because it was like, you know, it's what you did. And they kept dangling this carrot to me of management, and there was always like, you know, we're just you know, waiting for the right moment, and when this happened, when that's happened, you know, we'll sort of like look at to move you at, you know, sort of like into a, so I wasn't even a supervisor or anything. And I fell pregnant with our eldest daughter, Olivia, and when I was on maternity leave, they put my brother-in-law. They gave him the supervisor role, that the team leader role that they'd promised me, and I was fuming. I mean, literally fuming that they'd given it to my brother. I mean, my brother-in-law as well. So give it to my brother-in-law, and didn't give it to me. I was fucking raging. I couldn't even explain it. And so when I was on maternity, I sort of had this idea that I would like to start an agency.
Yeah.
And I'd had it in my head for sort of maybe a year or so before, because I'd spoke to one of the other girls that I was working with at the Echo at that particular time, and said to her, have you thought, you know, we could do this as an agency? And instead of like letting them pay us, you know, a really shit wage, we could just take an agency commission and still give them all the business, but, you know, actually earn ourselves more money. And she was all up for it, the girl that I was talking to. And then when push comes to shove, she like really panicked. And didn't want to do it, because, I mean, I do get it. I mean, she had 2 children, a mortgage, and, you know, starting a business isn't everybody's cup of tea. You know, a lot of people talk about it. A lot of people talk, you know, I really want to do this, and I really want to do that, and I'd really love to start a business. And in my mindset, I'm like, well, why don't you then? If you want to do it, you don't want to do it that much. If you wanted to do it that much, you would do it. And, you know, it's when starting a business, you know, you've got to sort of like, you know, walk the walk as well as talk the talk, really. So I'd sort of come up with this sort of like idea like previously, and then sort of ditched it, because I didn't really want to do it on my own. And but then the turning point was my brother-in-law got this promotion over me, and I was like, right, I'm not having this. And I knew when I was going to go back, he was just going to be just loving the fact that he's like got a bit of power over me. And I'm not one, you can't tell me what to do. It's as simple as that. I'll do my own thing. You know, I can make you a lot of money. Just let me get on with it. Just let me do what I'm doing. Yeah, you don't have to tell me what to do. And so when I had Libs, I was sort of like thinking about the sort of like, you know, starting an agency. Justin then left NewsQuest, like the Evening Echo, and went off to work for Nestle doing their merchandising. So it was a lot more money, and it was sort of like, I think we'd got to a point sort of like, you know, with the Echo, it was, we knew that we wasn't going to ever make any more money than what we was, you know, sort of going to make. So, you know, we pretty much sort of like topped out. And if you hit your target for a whole year when you worked at the Echo, you knew the next year they was going to penalise you for it. So, because what they'd do is look at your January figure, then take you into it. It's like a Turkish market. So you'd go in, look at your January figure and say, well, last year you, like, you know, you made us £52,000. So this year we're expecting more. So we're going to set your target at 60. And you'd be like, but there was a shop opening in Rayleigh, you know, last January. And he had like £10,000 budget. And I've spent that. I haven't got another shop opening in Rayleigh. But they didn't care. Yeah. He's like, you've got to come find that money. So, and it was like, and that would mean everything to me. Because if I didn't hit my bonus, then my wages were shit. It was like, you know, it would that would come down whether I could pay my mortgage or not if I didn't hit my bonus. So, it, you know, it meant a lot. So Justin went off and got his new job at Nestle, and they just gave him, it was pretty much like a wage increase of about sort of like £10,000. So that was like, wow, this is, you know, that's really decent. And I went back to, after my maternity leave, I only had 6 months off because they basically sort of threatened to take my patch away from me, like the patch I'd worked on. And it was just their way of getting me back quicker. Because they knew they couldn't do it. No one could look after my patch the way that I looked after it. So it was their way of getting me back quicker. So I had 6 months off. Then I went back. And obviously under the sort of like the tyranny of my brother-in-law. he was my team leader who I hated it with a passion. And I was talking to my boss one day. And I just thought to myself, what am I doing? I'm not going anywhere. This is all this is gonna amount to. And really, if I got your position, like my boss's position, would I be happy? Because you don't look happy. And the woman that had his position before him, they put so much pressure on her. I'm not kidding you, we watched her have a stroke in her office and be like sort of like we had to get ambulance in and everything. Honestly, it was horrific, and she was the loveliest lady. Really was, because it was quite high pressure, the job at that particular time, because we was earning so much money for them, and so it's like the more money that, you know, the more they want, it was like, you know. So I sat and thought to myself, right, I'm gonna start an agency, and I already had the name. I actually dreamt the name of my company. It's Focus Media. And I went round to the art department of where I was working, and I got one of the graphic designers to whip me up a logo. So all on the company time. And I got them to whip me up a logo. And I went home and I said to Justin, I'm going to start an agency. And he said, oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's a really good idea. I went, yeah. So I'm full of it. And I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to speak to so-and-so because I'd like some really good key clients that spent a lot of money with the newspaper. And and I went, I'm going to approach them. I'm going to speak to them, see if I can get them on board to come with me. So it like really strengthens me, you know, sort of like to start the business. Yeah. And Justin's like, yeah, good, yes, that's cool, yes, good, that's good, yeah, do it. So I went off, set up my limited company, got myself an accountant, chucked my middle son out of his bedroom, turned it into an office, got myself a fax machine, and like I bought myself a secondhand iMac, and I sort of like budgeted to get a graphic designer for 10 hours a week. And I thought I could afford 10 hours a week. And how I'd work this out was I'd got onto Direct Line and got a £6,000 loan to say that I was going to do up my conservatory. So sorry, Direct Line, if you're listening to this now, I didn't do up the conservatory. But I did pay the loan back. And then you had to give me all that PPI back as well because you sold me that insurance, so probably not going to be, you know, it's not a happy story for them. But I've got a £6,000 loan, and in my son's bedroom, in my man, is covered in Man United wallpaper, my secondhand iMac, and in the first year, I turned over 1.7 million.
Fucking hell! Seriously,
I had £6,000 in the bank, and I turned over 1.7 million.
That's
so it was
wow,
it was quite funny. And within sort of like the first
just you on your own working
well
on
what
your
happened
own.
Was when I started I'd basically nicked one of my key clients from the Evening Echo,
yeah,
who I was really good friends with at this point because I, you know, sort of like looked after his account for at least like 3 years, and I got on with him like house on fire. And I went to him with my idea, and he was a notorious ball breaker. He wouldn't deal with anyone else in that business other than me, and I was the only one that could talk to him the way that I could get away with. I mean, I'd hang up on him where he was just annoying me, yeah, so much, and he wasn't doing what I wanted him to do, and he was just such a pain in the ass. But I think he actually really liked it. I think it might have been a bit of a, you know, sort of like a, as a woman telling me what to do. I find this quite sexy, actually. Sort of like, I think he quite liked, yeah, it. But I went to him and said to him, I want to start this agency. And he said, I'll come with you. He said, but he said, if it doesn't work, he said, business is business and friendship's friendship. He said, I walk away. He said, and we're still friends. Yeah. And I went, yeah. I said, but it's going to work. I said, so he went, I'm just saying. He said, I've got 100% faith in you. Yeah. I will do this with you. And so then I went to Justin. I went, I've handed him my notice. And then that's when the penny clicked for him. He was like, what the fuck? What, you've handed in your notice? And then all of a sudden he started to go, we've got a mortgage, we've got 4 kids, you've just had a baby, what the fuck? I think he thought that I was just like, you know, I wasn't going to do it. It was just all like this big bravado, yeah, and like sort of like, you know, I'd got my little iMac and I'd got all like this little loan. I don't think he actually thought that I would jump. And I went, no, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
So my boss got me in when I was at the Evening Echo, and he sort of said, like, why are you leaving? I said, I'm not sure. I said, well, I want to do my own thing. I said, I'm not sure what I'm going to do yet. And obviously all the rumours were rife that I was going to start this agency. And he said, are you going to start an agency? I said, I don't know yet. So I'm not sure. I said, but I will. I'm going to do my own thing. I said, but I'm not sure, you know, under what umbrella it's going to come out of yet. So he said, yeah, I'd be very careful if I was you. He said, because the Evening Echo,
oh, yeah,
he said, its bite is a lot worse than its bark. It's actually what he said to me. So I said,
So I was like,
okay, all right. And then the day before I left, he organised this massive company meeting. I mean, he brought in everyone from the Thurrock branch, the Chelmsford branch, the Colchester branch into the Basildon head office. I'm not kidding you. There's got to have been about 200 people at this meeting, all for me, and I was sitting in the front, all so that he could do this massive speech of how agencies are parasites and how we've got to fight agencies, we've got to make clients book direct because they're so much better service from booking direct, why would a client use an agency. He went on for about an hour and everyone was looking at me because they knew what I was going to do, and I was just sitting there just going, okay, I'm going, oh yes, it's terrible. And it just really made me laugh. And then when I left...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, when I left, obviously I had to go back to them and like try and buy advertising space because that was what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So, and when I went back with pretty much their biggest client, they basically said, no, we don't recognise her as an agency. She's not Brad registered, so we don't recognise her. So I was sort of thinking, what the fuck do I do? It's like, you know, they're not going to recognise, yeah, me. But my client actually turned around and said to them, if you don't recognise her as an agency, you lose all my business and I take it elsewhere. And at that point, he was spending $250,000 with them a year. So, and they didn't want to lose that sort of money. So it was either lose everything from him or give me 10% of everything that he spent. Yeah. So... They sent me a few solicitor's letters and I basically said I was a conflict of interest, which I wasn't because I'm not another newspaper, I'm not another publication, I'm not trying to steal the business. Yeah. I'm actually going to grow your business and I'm going to give you, you know, sort of like make my clients spend more money with you because that's what we do as, yeah, an agency. So, yeah. So, and that's how I started Focus. I started with no business plan whatsoever. I had no clue what I was doing. I had £6,000 in the bank. I'd just taken on my key client who spends £250,000 a year just with one newspaper. Didn't even occur to me that I'm going to have to bankroll his credit for the 30 days at a time. And I'm a brand new business. So that newspaper's never going to give me credit limits to the tune of what he's getting, you know.
Oh, is that how it, yeah, works?
So basically, I have got to give him, so for argument's sake, he's spending £20,000 a month with that newspaper. They will then put that on an account for me. But because I'm a brand new business, for the first year, pretty much every brand new business gets made to prepay everything, because you're not going to give somebody credit when you haven't got a credit history.
Yes. Yeah.
So yeah. I'm a brand new business. Why the hell are they going to give me credit to £20,000 a month? I wouldn't do it now. Like, somebody is a brand new business. So it's not where they're being, you know, arseholes to me. They're just, it's business. Yeah, yeah. It's like, you just don't do it. So
yeah,
it was like, right, okay, so what am I going to do? And he was notoriously a bad, like a late payer. So you'd always have to wait a couple of weeks before he was going to pay you. But the newspapers wanted their money like beforehand. So by the time he was, and he was never going to prepay me because he's used to having a 28-day account. And that's how he runs his business. Yeah. It's his cash flow. That didn't even occur to me. That didn't even enter my head. So I opened up every credit card I could get my hands on to pretty much bankroll the first 2 months of my business, because like to get his first lot of money into my bank account so that I could start, you know, sort of like paying bills. And so I pretty much I had to wait for, you know, sort of like his money to hit the account so that I could start paying the, like, you know, sort of like, I didn't see a penny of like money from Focus for like the first 6 months at all.
Yeah.
Which is pretty, to be honest with you, that's pretty spectacular in the first 6 months of business. I mean, a lot of businesses don't see money for years, before they start taking a wage. And but within that 3 months, when I've sort of like, you know, had to sort of like have all these credit cards, God knows how many sleepless nights thinking, how am I going to pay that tomorrow? How am I going to do this? But you rob Peter to pay Paul, and you work it out. You just do.
Yeah.
And but it's quite weird because I was so young at that point. I mean, I was 28 when I started Focus.
Wow.
Do you know what? I had no fear. No fear in me at all. And do you know what? There wasn't one element of me that thought, shit, I could fail. I knew that it was going to work. I knew. It was just like, it was destined to, you know, to work. So there wasn't any part of me that thought I could possibly fail at doing this. So, you know, I had moments. Yeah. I was like, oh, my God, how am I going to work it out? But I'm always one of those people go, right, okay, it's never a no to me. There's always a way to work something out. We can sort this. We can do it. So within 3 months, I'd then gone to other clients, one other clients, and then Justin saw how busy I was getting. And he also had a backlog of clients that he used to deal with when he worked at the Echo. He was still working at Nestle. And 6 months in, he'd got like a big chunk of his clients to book through us as well. And I was looking at him saying, you've got to give up this job. I went, I can't cope. I can't do all of this on my own. It's like, and he's like being the sensible one going, well, Antonio, I'm the only one earning the wage at the moment. It's like, I'm the only one that's paying the mortgage. And it's sort of like, you know, and I'm like, well, I can't, if we're going to do this, you need to give up this job. So basically, because he was merchandising, he was pretty much just being set appointments every day, like just like from a head office, and he had to go to sort of like different shops and like make sure the Nestle products were right up the front of the shop and make sure they had all the right branding in place and stuff like that. And he was pretty much just cancelling all these appointments and working for Focus for about 3 months.
Yeah.
And, you know, not doing any work for Nestle. How he got away with it, I just don't know. And like our first fax machine, because we used to get, honestly, it was like the best job in the world where he worked, because it was like living in Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. Because if Kit Kat brought out a new variation of a flavour of Kit Kat, we would get every single version of that Kit Kat in three separate boxes, so 36 in each box. So on a Saturday morning, we would have a truckload of chocolate delivered to the house. So it was crazy. God. The kids got to a point where if I had a flake in the fridge, and because it was Cadbury's, they'd be fighting over it because they were so sick of Nestle chocolate, because we had like just boxes of it. And Justin went to Pitsy Market because we didn't have enough money for a fax machine, and traded three boxes of free toys you got with Nestle products, three boxes of toys like Lego Star Wars toys for a fax machine. That's how we paid for our first fax machine, was with Lego, free Lego toys from Nestlé. And yeah, so he eventually gave up the job under much duress from myself, because I was like, I need your help. And yeah, he brought on one of his biggest clients, who was a Spanish villa sort of exhibition company at that particular time, which in, you're talking back in 2003. So back then, they were spending, like, the sort of like the Spanish villa guys, like, you know, sort of like buying property abroad. That was a massive thing back in 2003. They'd hold these exhibitions, like, at the XL Centre, and, like, thousands of people would turn up. And we managed to win that account just based on Justin looking after his account when he just had a show that he had to use papers at the, like, for the Evening Echo. We ended up winning the account for the whole of the UK. And he put us on to, he put us on to all of, like, his other subsidiaries all over the country. So we was doing, honestly, we had so much work coming out of our ears. We didn't know what to do with it. And obviously, never running a business before, we were still very, like, didn't really know what to do. And I've got, like, checkbooks and stuff all put to one side where I'm paying out in checks. I haven't got a bookkeeper or anything like that. I'm upstairs, like, sort of like 2 o'clock in the morning trying to work out VAT, sort of like, you know, sort of like returns. I don't know what I'm doing. I didn't have a clue. So right towards the end of the year, a friend of the family sort of said, he was an accountant, and he said, like, let me sort it all out for you. He said, you're a new business, new startup. He said, I feel for you. He said, I know what it's like starting a new business. It's, you know, it's quite full on. He said, let me do it for you, and I'll do it at a really cut price rate. He said, I'll get all your books sorted. He said, and I'll get you a bookkeeper. We'll get it all put in place. I went, oh, that's brilliant. I went, thank you so much. I went, it's so much help. He'd done our books and put us all up to scratch. And honestly, he called us in to have a meeting at his office. We walked into his office and he said, honestly, he went, what the fuck have you two done? He said, no one takes out a loan for £6,000 and then generates a turnover of 1.7 million in 1 year. He went, do you know how much work I've had to do? He said, and I've told you can pay me £1,000. He went, this should have been about £6,000. He went, this is like ridiculous. He went, absolutely ridiculous. He went, I cannot believe what you used to have done. He went, this is just unheard of. He went, that doesn't happen. And we were sort of like, but it's, you know, but it wasn't like we had like 1.7 million in the bank. It's not like that at all.
Yes.
It's sort of we were sort of looking, just going, well, where's the 1.7 million then? It's like, because I haven't got it. where is all this money? It's not there. And because it's all cash flow, and it's like, and turnover. Yeah. And as you sort of learn over the, you know, sort of like, I don't really sort of like register turnover in my business anymore. It's like, because that's a bit of a, you know, it's great to have, like, be able to say you turn over a couple of million and whatever, but I'm more about the profit. I want to see the profit margin, because now I know what I'm doing. So back then it was sort of like, I think in the first year, I think, how much did we earn out of that? I think it was £120,000, which still isn't nothing to be sniffed at in the first year. And
that's amazing.
Yeah, so it was like, yeah, it is quite, you know, when I look back on it and you sort of think of it, and I had no business experience whatsoever, no business plan,
and four kids,
what was a baby? Yeah, and Olivia, when I started the business, Olivia was 10 months old. Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
And not a clue what I was doing. And
you were 28?
Yeah, 28.
Oh my God.
So
it's nearly 20 years, is it then?
18 years next month. We've been running
18 years. Mad, is it still just you, or have you got a team of people?
If you'd have asked me that this time last year, I would have been able to say, yes, I've got this. I've got 10 people working for me. I've got this beautiful office. And, you know, we just moved into new premises about 6 months before the C word kicked in. And really lovely. It's all like brand new, very, very plush. And, you know, it's lovely. But at the moment, we've got, you know, sort of like a few staff on furlough. We've had to make, because we've sort of like expanded quite a lot last year. We've got like new offices, and like what I said sort of earlier, we've, you know, sort of like we've launched two new businesses media wise, a lot of which is.
Yeah, so what are the new businesses?
Well, basically, AdPlan is it's my baby, and it's something I've been working on for about 3 years. If you're in the media sort of like industry of, you know, it's so difficult to try and explain, but it's basically, it's an outdoor media planning tool. So
okay,
if you went to sort of, you know, to book a billboard, for argument's sake, say you're a business and you're in Thurrock and you think, right, I want to book a billboard, I want to do some outdoor advertising, you'll see the billboards like sort of like down the side of the road, and you'll have a little look and you probably see like who owns a couple of them, and then you'll have to go to that company and you'll sort of say, right, well, I want to see what else is in the area, and they'll send you just like a spreadsheet with longitudes, latitudes, addresses of where these sites are, and there will be these different columns you'll just look at and go, right, I don't understand any of that. And okay. And right then and there you're thinking, oh, this is too much aggro. I can't be asked to do this. And that's why agencies get involved, because we will do all the hard work for you and show you what to do.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, when you've sort of like look at billboards, a lot of people that I speak to in my industry, like sort of like new customers, they'll be going, oh, we can't afford things like that. That's far too expensive. And they don't think, because they see the likes of BT, Virgin, sort of like, you know, L'Oreal, all these big companies, all these big national companies on the billboards, they think it's going to cost an arm and a leg. Well, think again, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It really doesn't. But it's really hard to geographically work out all of the suppliers in the area. I mean, there's about 40 suppliers now that look after billboards, that own billboard portfolios across the UK. So trying to give yourself a good landscape of what's available to you would be really difficult to do, especially if you don't know what you're doing as well.
Yes. Yeah,
so this is where AdPlan steps in. So AdPlan is basically, it's a media planning, an outdoor media planning tool where you'll log in and you can just type in, for argument's sake, Basildon. And there'll always be a key that pops up on your left-hand side. And every single outdoor format will have its own different colour geo-pin. So billboards will be purple, bus stops will be orange, telephone kiosks will be green, supermarkets will be pink. So you'll have every single colour. So where it pops up as Basildon, you'll see all these different geo-pins as to all of the sites of what you can see. What you can do, so you can click on the pins, you can open it up, it will show you the Google Street View image of the actual site. It will tell you how many people see that site in a day. There's a window system, so you can actually plan your own campaign within the site, and then you can either book it direct with the supplier if you wish, or you can press a button that says submit to quote, and then we will tell you what's available and when you can have it and how much it is.
So how do you earn money out of that then? Do the people that let them subscribe to the service?
Well, basically,
or do you have to pay
the first
to use
year
it?
When we launch AdPlan will be free of charge. So it's all about the data. So it's all about getting people onto the site and getting people using the site, getting people used to it, and, you know, seeing how different it can, you know, sort of like what a positive it will be on helping them plan an outdoor media campaign. So what we want to do is get them used to using it. And then, obviously, in about 12 months' time, it will become a subscription basis. So you will have to pay a subscription fee per IP address to use it.
Yeah.
Unless you're spending, because you can also buy advertising through AdPlan. So, and if you're spending money on AdPlan, so if you're spending a certain amount of money a year on AdPlan, then you will get to use AdPlan free of charge.
Yeah.
So, but what we're going to do...
God, that's such a clever idea.
It's always the simplest ideas. It's sort of, and it's one of those ones, honestly, we was on the way to the Ideal Home Show about 3 years ago, and I was like, it was really annoying me because I was going through like a spreadsheet, like an Excel sheet on my phone on the way sort of like to the, like for a client on the way to the Ideal Home Show. And I was looking, thinking, oh God, how much would it be easier if we could just like see all these sites, get a geo pin, be able to just like look at them. Now I can send them to my clients. And because now on AdPlan, what I can do is I can literally, I'll have a client and they'll say to me, right, can you just, what is there down Peckham High Street? And I'll get all these questions like all over the UK. What's down Peckham High Street? Now I would have to go off and then find every single supplier. I'd ask them for all the avails that they've got, all of the availabilities, all of their portfolio, just to find the sites and go, right, what have you got down Peckham High Street? For all of them to go, no, we haven't got anything. Yes, we've got this, we've got that. No, we haven't got anything. We've got to wait for it all to come back, for all those people to come back to you, which could take up to sort of 3 days sometimes for all that to come back to you. Collate all that information, then give them an idea of sites down there, because I haven't got time to be geo-pinning everything for them. It's just, you know, I've not got the time to do it. And by the time they get all the information, it's sort of like, oh God, you know, it can be just, you know, it can just turn people off and they go, oh, no, it's too much aggro.
Yeah.
Whereas now I can literally, I had a client the other day and she said to me, right, okay, I want to look down sort of like, you know, what is there around Curtin Road in Shoreditch? So I was like, straight on there, Curtin Road, bang, 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 right. Okay, I've just sent you a link. That's all the sites that's available to you in Curtin Road. So have a little look. Tell me what you're sort of like after. And then I'll find out what's available for you. And then we can start having a look at some prices. And it will cut the time down in so much. And if you're brand new to looking, and say you don't want to contact all these different billboard companies, all you have to do is just, because a lot of people don't want to talk to people anymore. They just want to be able to do it online.
Yeah.
So now you can just go on there and have a little look for yourself. And just go and, you know, open up a free account, have a little look. You can even type bus routes in there. So if you've got a specific bus route that you want to advertise down, then you can pull up all of the outdoor media sites, points of interest. So if you want to advertise around all the local gyms, it pulls up all the local gyms for you, local school, anything.
God, that's brilliant.
So that's been 3 years in the making because it's a lot of work. A lot of work.
Wow.
So, and that was on the way to the Ideal Home Show. By the time I'd hit the Ideal Home Show, once again, no business plan, no idea what I was doing. By the time I'd hit the Ideal Home Show, I'd already bought the domain. I had the email addresses set up and I had my first meeting with the web development team that I still use now the next day.
Oh, wow.
Because that's me. I'm either, you know, go home or, you know, go hard or go home. And Justin's like, what? What are you doing? What are you doing now? And I'm like, this is going to be amazing. It's going to be brilliant.
But that's why you're successful, because you do it. That's the thing, isn't it? People spend their whole lives talking about stuff, but you've actually just got to do it.
You have. I think... You know, it's a lot of people, it's always like, oh, I'll do it when this happens. I'll do it when that happens. It's like, and you know, if you wait for tomorrow, tomorrow's never going to come. You're never going to see tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, what are you waiting for? Why? What would you rather do?
Yeah.
Say you've tried and failed or not tried at all. Because I know where I'd want to go to my grave. Yeah. I want to be able to say, I tried to do that. Yeah. I tried to do that. I mean, even with May, I mean, I love the idea of it and the create, you know. For all I know, I could fall on my ass. I could absolutely fall on my ass. But at least I've tried. And at least I've given it a go.
Yeah.
And at least, you know, I can sit there and go, I've put everything into that. And I've done my utmost to make that work. And if it's worked, brilliant. Yeah. If it hasn't, you know, I've given it my best shot.
At least
I've given it my best shot.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. I've always been of that mindset.
Of
the mindset. For me, I was never going to find a job. I was always going to have to invent my own. This is me. This is me inventing my own jobs.
And what a success they are.
Yeah.
Oh, it's been lovely. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing.
I really hope it weren't that boring.
Your amazing story. No, it's fun. Oh, I love it. I really enjoyed that. And I was really looking forward to it as well. I was getting all excited this afternoon. So thank you so much.
Thank you for letting me come on and just and chat away.
Take care.
Bye.
See, wasn't that fascinating? I love a nice story. I love a story. If you want to know any more about what Antonia does, I will post links to her companies. I'm going to get her to come back on with her daughters when the makeup brand launches, because I think it'd be really good to do one on that. But I'll share her information now. If you have anything you'd like to come on and talk about, then get in touch with me. I'm always up for a chat. We've got loads of episodes in the past. If you haven't heard our other episodes yet, then please go back through our catalogue, because we've got some really good ones. Loads of inspirational stories. I've got loads of good ones to come as well. I've been on a recording frenzy, so I've got like 12 episodes in the bag already. So I hope you enjoy them. And yeah, get in touch. Talk to me. I always say it, but I do like to talk to people. Talk to me. And I want to say a big up to Claudine Hartzell Photography as well for doing my most recent photo, because she's just so good. And when we can go out and about, I'll get to do some more as well. But yeah, thanks for listening. Find us on the socials. I keep saying us. I miss you, Harry. Find me on the socials, Mum and Mama Pod, at whatever. And please subscribe to the podcast, because then you just get it automatically every week. And give us a little review on iTunes. But say we're good. I'm good. I'm really going to have to get a handle on this, aren't I? Maybe I'll talk about us because of my multiple personalities. That's a good idea. Anyway, I'm going to bore myself off now. Have a lovely Sunday. Lots of love. See you next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.